Certainly thankful for the public prayer that Brother Will offered on our behalf. And I thought about how grateful he said it was to be in the house of the Lord, that he allowed him to be a part of this church. You know, sometimes we don't think of it in that manner, do we? We think we just go to church where we want to, when we want to, in a way. But being grateful to come to the house of the Lord and to be in the presence of God and His people is truly an honor and a privilege that not everyone in this world has. This morning, if the Lord would bless, I'd like to preach on the subject of trouble. And I know that's something that's not always enjoyable. It's something that is certainly a part of our life and something that we cannot avoid. You know, trouble comes in every size and every sort, in all kinds of ways in life. And as long as you and I live in this life, we're going to have trouble. You know, it begins early, does it not? In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." You know, we don't want to talk about trouble. We hate trouble. I know I do. I don't want to be involved in any kind of trouble. I don't want to have trials and tribulations, but I'm here to tell you they are an ongoing part of our lives, whether we enjoy them or not. Sometimes there's trouble, you know, in our jobs. Sometimes there's trouble in our families, in our marriage, in our health. I mean, the list is just goes on and on and on. And some things are more troubling to some folks than they are to others, but there is no doubt that trouble is a part of our lives that we cannot get beyond in this life. It really is. And it's something that we need to be prepared for and we need to deal with. You know, I've noticed in my life and in the time in the church that life is a journey of ups and downs, valleys and peaks. There are times in our lives when everything seems to be going just right, smoothly. We're not having a lot of problems, not having a lot of difficulties, and we're not having a lot of troubles. But the next thing you know, it's not long before the ship that was sailing so smoothly hits the boisterous storms, and the waves are high, and the things of life seem to be closing in, and the trouble is great. Like I said, trouble affects everyone in a different way, but it is something that every one of us go through in our lives. Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." There's no two ways about it. I don't care how good you walk and how good you live, trouble will find you in this life. It's just part of it. The writer in Job says that not long after you're born, you're full of it. He also tells us that by our own understanding and our own learning, that trouble begins early in life, does it not? How early and how old do you have to be to get in trouble from your parents? All you have to do is look at my grandchildren here. One of them's already in trouble and out the door. You know, it begins early. Sometimes young children grow up and they're bullied by their friends. I mean, trouble's a real part of life that you and I ought not to ignore. I wish I could tell you there were things that you could do in this life that you could eliminate trouble. There would be no trouble. But Jesus says, "In the world ye shall have trouble." Now, the interesting thing that Jesus said in John 16 and 33, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." In the world ye shall have tribulation. You know, how many people do you know that seek peace in the world? From man, from their job, from their children, from their friends, from materialistic things that they purchase and buy. They're looking for something to soothe the heart and to soothe the soul. Jesus said that peace can only be found in Him. A time in life where you're settled. Now, you know, most of us, when we pray to God and when we're in a trial or a tribulation or we're having a lot of trouble, our greatest desire is for God to literally remove it. Take it away from us, not to ever let it happen again. But friends, the Lord didn't say that He would take away your troubles, did He? What He did, He said He would give you peace to navigate and to sail through these rough storms that I'll assure you, if you hadn't already seen some of them in your life, you will. I know that I have, and I can attest for many sitting in this congregation that they have went through some of the greatest storms of life that you could imagine. And we sit here together today and continue our journey by the grace of God and nothing else. By the grace of God and nothing else. When you look back and you begin to see the difficulties you went through, the troubles that you encountered, and you see that you're sitting here today, you know, you may have some battle scars. You may have some wounds. We all do. But by God's sovereign grace, you marched on. You know, the easy thing to do in life is to throw in the towel. But we're told that we have a hope that's greater. Now, we serve a God who is rich in mercy. And His mercy is great. His storehouse of mercy is bountiful. It's bountiful. We're told in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. God is rich in mercy. You know, we're going to look at a few examples of folks that had trouble in the Bible. And we'll just get through a few today. But, you know, you can go to the greatest patriarchs of the Bible. King David. Jeremiah. You can go to the troubles that Moses had. The Apostle Paul. On and on goes these stories. The troubles that King Hezekiah, a very godly king, had. I want to tell you right now, the message is preached in the world today by many where if you'll take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ and you'll do this and you'll do that, you'll have nothing but a prosperous and a healthy life. I'm going to tell you what, that's not scriptural. That's not Bible. You know, I wish it was that way, but I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day where trouble will no more haunt you. You see, at the root of our troubles is sin. Not necessarily the sins that you commit. Sometimes it is that way. You know, when we look at trouble, we're going to look at trouble that sometimes we have in our lives based upon the circumstances that others bring upon us in life. In other words, trouble has been brought into our life by others. Now, we got to be real careful because there's many people in the world that want to blame all their troubles on someone. And if they can't find an individual to blame their trouble on, they'll blame it on God. I've heard people say, well, I cannot change. God made me this way. That's a cop-out. What that literally tells you is they're blaming God for the way that they were made. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. So anytime we say that we can't change and we're unwilling to change, what we're saying is, or what we're doing is, we're blaming God for our problems indirectly. You may not literally say, well, God, it's your fault that I'm this way. But an unwillingness to change directs that message indirectly. We're telling folks that we can't change. We can't do anything different because you made me this way. That's not so. It began early in the garden in the fall. You know, Adam, he blamed Eve for giving him the fruit, the forbidden fruit. But he blamed God for giving him the woman. You know, we're always looking for someone to lay blame on. But honestly, there are situations in your life where you're going to suffer trials and tribulations and trouble because of the acts of someone else. And we'll look at that. But also, we're going to find in the Bible, and we probably won't get to it today, but you're going to find that you will suffer much trouble in your life based on disobedience. We spoke of that just a moment ago. The trouble that we encountered as young children because we didn't do what mom and dad said and told us to do. How many times can you remember that you didn't do what your mother and daddy told you to do? How many times did you get a spanking? How many times was mother merciful to you and not telling your dad? I bet that happened in your life at some given point. You know, even our parents showed mercy to us far more than we deserved. But God is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. Now, sometimes we just suffer because of nature, you might say, or circumstances of life. Even though these things find their root in sin, sometimes we suffer. You know, over in John chapter 9, and we'll not turn there, but there was a man that was a young man or a young child that was born blind from birth. And the Pharisees came, this man, Jesus touched this man, and he was healed, and he was able to see. And, you know, there was a great argument between the Pharisees and the scribes about how this come to pass. But the first question was asked, Did he sin or did his parents sin? In other words, they assumed that this kid was born blind, this child, because of the sins of the parents. And Jesus said, no, it's that God's glory might be manifest. The glory of God was manifested in the healing of this young man. This child had been born from birth. You go over to Acts chapter 3 and you go to the gate that is called Beautiful, and you find the young man who was carried to the gate day in and day out, who was a beggar. And he was healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he get up and walk, he jumped and he leaped for joy, praising God all the way along. There are things that happen to folks that are not the fault of their sinning or someone else sinning. You know, again, we find in John chapter 11 a great illustration. You know, Lazarus had died, and Jesus intentionally did not come for 4 days after he died. And his sisters and those friends and neighbors that were around, those Jewish folks, were in a state of mourning, and they were very sorrowful. And the shortest scripture in verse in all scriptures in John chapter 11, it said Jesus wept. You know, Jesus knows the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what problems you have. He knows the problems and the troubles that you're going to encounter before you ever encounter them. He knows you better than you know yourself. You know, I wish troubles wasn't a part of our life, but unfortunately, we encounter many troubles. We encounter many trials and many tribulations. And we need to understand that as we journey down through life, because they can be devastating to us if we're not in the proper mind, if we don't have an understanding of God's word. I tell you, the further away you get from God, the more destructive those trials and tribulations will be in your life. The more they will cast you away, and they will cause you to live in a state of misery and despair, and a lot of times it'll lead you to hopelessness. You know, we have a hope. We have a hope in God. Even though we suffer in the trials and tribulations of this life, we have a hope that goes beyond the trial and the tribulation. You know, in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, Jeremiah said, "This I recall to my mind." You know, I think this is something that really applies to me. And I think it applies to a number of you folks back here. I've seen death come into the lives of people. I've seen divorce come into the lives of people. Terrible situations. I've seen those in my lifetime. I've seen how devastating they are for a time. But you know, they passed and we went forward, and there another trial came. Another trouble came. They're unending in this life. There's coming a day that there'll be no more trouble. There'll be no more trials. When we put off this old body of sin and we go to heaven to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, there'll be no more trouble. There'll be no more chains. But until that time, it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that gives us the hope that we need in the midst of the difficulties that you and I are absolutely going to face. As I spoke of the valleys and the mountaintops, I find something interesting, especially in the last 20 years. It seems to be easier for people to come to church when things are going smoothly. I've seen folks withdraw from God's people and even from the Lord when they're in the valley. But what greater time is there in your life to draw nigh unto God? He's promised to draw nigh unto you. A greater need for God. But sometimes when the waters get very rough and the sailing's very hard, people turn from God, and not to God, from Him. I encourage you to turn unto God. He is the only hope that we have in this life. Jesus said, if you want to navigate through the trial with any degree of peace, any degree of comfort, it's in Him. These things have I spoken unto you that in me, not in the world, not in the preacher, not in anyone else, but in Jesus Christ Himself, will you be able to go forward. Jeremiah said, this I recall to my mind. You know, I thought about that for a long time. I look back in my life over 20 years ago. I know that individuals in this church, I know their circumstances, and they can look back upon some of the greatest trials in their life and recall. And it says, therefore have I hope. Why? Because God delivered you out of that tribulation and that trial. He didn't remove it from your life as though it wasn't, but He gave you the peace and the comfort and what you stood in need of to go forward. I tell you, death is always a difficult thing. But I tell you, I've encountered other situations, just as I've said, difficulties in families and in marriages that are just as difficult as death. But you know, Jeremiah, here he was. He had prophesied to the children of Israel over and over. The word lament means he was mourning and weeping and wailing for the children of Israel. They were God's chosen people that had went astray, that had turned away from God. A warning unto you and us and to the church and to Christians today, what happens? You know, when you study Jeremiah and when you study Isaiah and you go to 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, for one thing, you recognize there was a king named Hezekiah that was raised up compared to David. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In other words, there'd been prophesied to the children of Israel that if they didn't turn from their wicked ways, they didn't repent, a great king from the north was going to come and devour them. Hezekiah was raised up, and there was a stay on that judgment. Have you ever heard him say that some so-and-so was going to be put to death in a penitentiary? But the governor gave him a stay, and for a while longer, maybe for a few years. Well, I tell you what, the children of Israel wouldn't turn from their ungodly ways. They did for a while. I tell you, there's a lot in that, and we're not going to go there today, but it's extremely important who you have as the king, as the leader of your country, because he made a difference. When you go to the close of Hezekiah's life, and this is so fitting and it's so unusual, and it made me wonder, and I wonder about it today. When he died, his son was raised up. He ruled for 29 years. His son was raised up and became king in Israel, and he did that which was not right in the sight of God. He brought back the evil. You would have thought that maybe he had a better impression of his mom and dad. You know, if your children are not in church or not going to church, this isn't something new. This happened thousands of years ago. Because Hezekiah is compared to David, called David's son. But as soon as he died and his son took over, back to all the ungodliness, done that which was not right in the sight of Almighty God. But troubles are truly a part of our lives. Jeremiah was weeping for these people. He's called the weeping prophet. He was wailing for them. He had great sorrow in his mind and in his soul because he loved the Lord's people. You know, I hope you love the Lord's people with that great intent that we never have to wail and weep because we're no longer able to gather, because we've been dispersed and the Lord has brought judgment on us. But that's what happened in this day and time. He goes on and he says, because of what I remembered in the past, I have hope today. I have hope today. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Isn't that amazing? And why is that? Because in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You and I are not consumed and overthrown in this life purely because of God's mercy. You know, we don't understand what mercy really is for his great love wherewith he loved us. I tell you what, it's amazing that God is merciful to us, to me, or merciful to me. That's the way I look at it. But I don't understand the greatness of God's love. I can tell you that right now. None of us do. He goes on and says, because his compassions fail not. He told Lazarus' sisters and those friends there, he knew the feelings of their infirmities. They were troubled in their hearts and in their soul. Their brother had died, and they knew that if Jesus had been there, the sister said, you could have healed him. He'd still be with us. But Jesus manifests the glorious works of Almighty God and raised him to life right in their presence. That trouble came to them not because of something they did. It was just the circumstances of life. It happens. Death comes to us at times, and we'll not get there. He goes on and he says, because his compassions fail not, he says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Our God is faithful. He's merciful. He's so merciful that we can't even begin to understand the greatness of God's mercy. You know, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You know, God never has forsaken one of his children. You may say, well, I don't feel the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's you and I who have forsaken the Lord. He has not forsaken us. It's you and I who forsake the Lord and drift into the world and taken over by the thoughts of the world. God has always been there. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. God has always been there. It's you and I who turn away from God from time to time in our life. But troubles are certainly an ongoing issue in our lives, something that we need to be aware of. We need to remember past deliverances. That's exactly what Jeremiah knew. He was very much lamenting over the condition of the children of Israel. Israel had been basically destroyed, and a remnant of Israel had been taken captive to Babylon. And that was solely because God's promise to Abraham and to David that there would be a remnant, because Jesus Christ sprang from the tribe of Judah. But because of the promise, he left a remnant that they would continue on. I want to turn and begin this morning looking at one example in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 3 and verse 4, and we'll skip down a little bit. It begins by, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There is no one that can comfort you in your trials and in your trouble better than God." Now, when we read this next verse, we're going to find out that that's something that you and I ought to do on a continuous basis. He says, "Who comfort us all in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." In other words, if God ever comforted you in a trial or a tribulation or a trouble that you was going through, if he ever saw you through it, he's given you what you need to help comfort somebody else that's going through any trouble themselves. We need God's help. We need him. But you and I are to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're to do the best we can to mirror his image. We are to comfort God's people who are going through trials and tribulations. And friends, there, many of us out here are, from sicknesses to illnesses to family problems to you name it. The list goes on and on. It's endless of the troubles that come in this life. Some people may not tell you about their troubles. They may not announce their troubles. But you know, as Elder Michael Goins said, he made a statement in his last book that I'll never forget. What the heart feels, the face reveals, the countenance. People can tell you, "I'm all right, I'm happy." They can tell you all kinds of things, but if you're around them long enough, you'll get a very good idea of what's going on in their life by their countenance, by their face, by what goes on in their life. It's hard to hide pain if you have it long enough. Matter of fact, it's virtually impossible. There's a few people good at it, but pain is something, and trouble is something that comes bulging out of our faces. I mean, and we're to help those people in trouble and in need. We all encounter it in our lifetimes over and over. Well, that's why we need fellowship one with the other. That's why being together in a church capacity, eating lunch together, communing together, and everything. And actually, those folks ate together during the week. It's so vitally important. If we want to get back to the originality of the church, that's what was going on. You and I can change that. We can make a difference. We can apply that to our lives as we go forward. He goes on down in verse 8, and it says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." Paul says this, "which came to us in Asia." Now, we're going to understand there was some trouble that were bothering Paul and the brethren that were traveling with him. It doesn't say if it was circumstances. It doesn't say if it was other folks. But it wasn't caused by Paul and the brethren that he was with. It wasn't caused by that. It says that they were pressed out of measure. They were heavily burdened down with whatever trouble they were encountered with. It was a heavy burden to them. Very heavy. He says that above strength. He said we didn't have the strength to get out of this trouble or even get beyond it. He says, "in so much that we despaired even of life." Whatever trouble Paul and his brethren were having, they were in a condition that they even questioned where they were going to continue to live, where they were going to get through this situation. Notice the next verse. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." Now that's trouble. Have you ever had that kind of trouble in your life? Some people have it and you don't know about it. They get so troubled with whatever's going on in their lives that they certainly want to pass from this life. They want to die. They want to go on because the trouble is so difficult. It is so hard. And I know that feeling, at least for a time. I think a lot of you know that feeling for a time. It's hard. It's hard when you lose someone. It's hard when they're no longer there and you've sat by them day in and day out all your lives. There's nothing easy about it. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's no one that can comfort you like God. You know, a lot of us want an answer tomorrow. But it's continuing to be faithful, to continue to walk in the way that Jesus Christ would have us to walk. And God has promised deliverance. He's promised us a peace to navigate through those times, to steer our ship through the storm, however boisterous the storm may be. He's made that promise. He said, I will not forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'm here. I'm here to help you. Maybe when the storm gets really bad, we forsake him. You know, when Jesus came walking to the disciples on the water, Peter asked him, can I come unto thee? And he did. He had his eyes focused upon Jesus Christ, the only man apart from the Lord Jesus Christ that ever walked on water. Well, what happened to him? When he began to see the storm and he began to look at the wind and the waves and took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And immediately Jesus reached out and saved him. That's where we are a lot of times in life. We take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, our true strength in this life, especially in those times of trouble. Sometimes it takes a while to navigate through those troubles. They don't fix themselves the next day. They don't come to an end the next day. They really don't. Sometimes they linger. So with some folks, they linger a lot longer. But we have a hope. Just as Jeremiah said, he remembered. He remembered God's promises. Paul goes on here, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. You know, so many people trust in themselves to deliver themselves in this life out of their troubles or problems. You know, some might say, well, God gave us a mind. He did. But God told us to call upon him, to lean upon him, to draw upon him every day of our lives. Whatever trouble that Paul and his brethren were having at this time, they knew they didn't have the ability to remove themselves from it, deliver themselves from it. So they put their trust in God, which raiseth the dead. The omnipotent power of God, which when he spoke to Lazarus, he came forth. When he said, let there be light, in the beginning, there was light. In the creation days, when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, it wasn't because you decided to. It's an evidence that God used resurrection power upon you, and you were enabled to believe. Paul said, this is who I'm putting my trust in. You go out today and you'll find that men and women and children and especially the younger generation are putting their trust in man day in and day out. I tell you, there's no one that can deliver us. There's no one that can navigate us through the problems. And whether they come to the house of the Lord or whatever it is they're doing, they're going to have troubles in their life. I'm telling you, I've lived 60 years on this earth and everybody I know has had some kind of trouble and I don't know the half of it. I know my own troubles. But I tell you, there's a lot of troubles that I don't know anything about that I know you've encountered. Because Jesus said you're going to have them and they're going to be a part of your life. What we want to do today is get encouraged from God's word that even though the troubles come and as difficult as they are, we got someone that will help us. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our helper in time of need. There is no one greater in your life to deliver you from the trouble that you may encounter than the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he say you wouldn't have any pain and it wouldn't hurt? No. When Paul prayed three times over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that the Lord would remove that thorn from his side, Jesus said he wouldn't remove it, but he said, my grace is sufficient. Jesus said, I will give you the peace to navigate through your trial, to get you through it. With me, we can get through the storm of life. Without me, it's going to be hard. You may not make it. You may fall into a state of despair and hopelessness. That's where a lot of God's people go because the further you get away from God, the harder it is to navigate through the storm. The easier it is to become hopeless in this life. Because I tell you, heaven looks better every day when you think about there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more sorrows, there'll be no more tears. You know, it's something that's, hallelujah, praise the Lord for that. Isn't that going to be a glorious day? But the Bible was given to us not only to tell us about a time to come, but how to live in this time. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And he's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about the life that we're living now. And if we live it apart from him, it's hard to live an abundant life. It's because the trials and the troubles are going to come. He says, who has delivered us from so great a death, from such a difficult burden of trouble. Paul said, I was delivered in the past. I recall that. I remember that. Just as Jeremiah remembered the mercies of God. Therefore, he had hope. Paul said, not only do I remember that, he says, I know that God delivers now. He's a God that never changed, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Friends, troubles are going to come. They're going to be a part of our lives. And he knew that his only hope was in God who raises the dead, in the omnipotent power of Almighty God to get him through those trials. He couldn't depend upon himself. He couldn't trust in himself. The psalmist said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. That's what we need in life, is direction. Especially when we're in the storms of life, the trials of life, the troubles that come so often, and they come very often, more often than we like, more often than we desire. But I encourage us to seek God in those trials. Take a little time and go to Psalms 42 as we will look for a closing place. We're going to find a trial here that David went through, and it was because of another man, and that man being Saul, King Saul. Israel was the only people in the Bible that was a true theocracy, meaning that Jesus Christ, God of heaven, was their king. And they rejected that. You know, it's a funny thing. It's just something we have a problem with today. They wanted a king like all the other nations of the world, wanted to be like everybody else. But you know, Jesus Christ wasn't like anybody else. And you and I ought not to be like everybody else. There's a great teaching in that. But they had to have a king like all the nations around them. So God gave them, or they chose King Saul. He went along for a period of time and he disobeyed God, and God rejected him as king, and he chose David, this little boy, the least of eight sons, the son of Jesse. The little boy who came in the name of the Lord and fought against Goliath. And with one sling of the stone out of the sling, he hit him between the eyes and he fell dead. He said, I come in the name of the only true and living God. He knew that God was fighting his battle. When Saul was rejected, he became very envious or jealous. We see that today. And because of jealousy, regardless of what brings jealousy into your life, it was Saul's desire to have David put to death. He chased him. He chased him around the countryside. He hid in the woods in different places. God delivered him numerous times. But I find it very interesting that we sang that song Brother Seth led, and it's the first verse really talks about, so the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. In this time when David was going through this great trouble, he hadn't been to the house of the Lord in a long time. He'd been on the run. He was a fugitive. You know, we take going to God's house as a, you know, we just believe we're going to be able to do it no matter what. Notice what it says here. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. He's been sorrowful. He's been in a state of depression is what David's actually in here. Very depressed. Things were just not good. And you know, to add to his depression, he begins to remember. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul. I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. I hope God's merciful to us and we're not singing that tune one day. Because you find a man here, the only man in the entire Bible, who has declared that he was a man after God's own heart. David was a sinner. And we're not going to get there today. We're going to find troubles that David encountered because of his sins, because of his own actions, just like you and I. But the trouble he was encountering here wasn't because of his own actions. God had chosen him to be the next king in Israel, had anointed him. Even Samuel was shocked. All the sons of Jesse marched through, and he said, "Is this all of them?" "Yeah, that's all of them except this little shepherd boy out here taking care of the sheep." And he brought him forth, and he was chosen. God never chooses that man would choose. I'm telling you right now. He never chooses the folks that man would choose. But David here had been on the run. He had been hiding out. And he had been crying day and night, sorrowful to his soul. And he was just hurting inside because he was not able to go and gather in the congregation of God's people to worship his God. I'm going to tell you, that tells me something about how important it is and how great a loss it'd be for us not to be able to congregate together to assemble to worship God. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't really know what we have until we don't have it anymore. I think David realized that right there. He'd been on the run so long, he even took up with the Palestinians. He took up with them. He was running from Saul because he feared Saul. But the Lord delivered him. Another lesson that David gave us in these trials was he had two opportunities for sure to take care of Saul. But he said, "My hand will not touch the Lord's anointed." He understood that he wasn't to take vengeance. He wasn't to take it in his own hands. Paul said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We're to recompense no man evil for evil." David knew that. But he still feared Saul. He was still troubled. He said, "I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day." It's been a long time since David had had that opportunity, and he was mourning over it. Do you think you and I would mourn if we could never assemble ourselves again? If we were just castaways out here running to and fro, not able to come together with our brothers and sisters? We may never know that unless that happens. I hope that's not the case. I hope God's merciful to this land and that doesn't happen. But it happened in times past, and it could happen again. And he begins to ask himself these questions. You know, a man's in a bad way when he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" This is a question. Now, why art thou disquieted in me? Why am I in this condition? Why has life gotten so bad that I've got no happiness? I'm miserable. I can't go be with my brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. I'm on the run. I feel like nothing but a loner out here. He says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." He remembered some things from the past, and sometimes we easily forget. Jeremiah said, "I remembered. I recalled to my mind, therefore I had hope." For the child of God, I think oftentimes that's where it gets in our lives. Sometimes we have to look back at a prior deliverance in our life. Because I tell you, I know folks, including myself in this church, that I can tell you about your deliverance. I know those circumstances in some of your lives. I don't know them in all. But I know that God delivered you out of a situation you were in. Thank God for his mercy, for his rich blessings, and for his deliverance in your life. Don't ever forget to thank God for deliverances. Because he is the one that raises the dead. He has omnipotent power. He has the power to deliver us, to give us peace in the midst of our greatest afflictions, our greatest troubles. "For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember from the land of Jordan." He's going to begin to remember because he's by himself and he's cast down. And his trouble came at the hand of another man. Now we're going to go to Psalms 51, not today, at a later time. And we're going to find out that he had great troubles in his life. And they were self-inflicted troubles because of his own disobedience and his own sin. We have that kind of trouble come after us in life also. But in verse 11 it says, he asked the question again, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Not was he only his help. When we seek help from the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when we can have a healthy countenance. I tell you, I've known folks have tried to go it alone. I've known folks who say, I cannot do it. I'm just this way. But you can do it. By the power of Almighty God, the resurrection power, the one that raises the dead, you can do above and beyond what you ever thought or asked. Because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ dwells within you, you have a power in you stronger than that flesh. But we're told to draw nigh unto God, and God would draw nigh unto us. We're to seek him in every part of our life, to trust in him, as Paul said, the one who can really deliver. Paul said, I don't have the power to deliver myself. I don't have the power to do anything. But he says there is one that does. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he's delivered me in the past. He'll deliver me today. And I'm certain he will deliver me going forward. As you look back on the trials you went through in your life, you think about where you are today and how that came out and how difficult it was in the midst of that trial. And I tell you, you'll thank God for his past mercies. You'll remember, you'll call to mind, regardless of the trial that you may face now, you'll know that God got you through that trial. And your hope is in God to get you through the trial that's going on today, if there is one, or the trial that may happen tomorrow. But it's in Christ Jesus that we find our help. It's in Christ Jesus that we're given the peace to navigate through the difficulty that you and I face. There's none other that can give us that peace and that hope. May God bless us to always seek him in the good days and in the bad days, because we're going to have them as long as we live and walk in this natural life upon the earth. There is coming that day when you'll be no longer troubled. And that thanks be to God for that victory, that one day troubles will disappear. But until that time, we need to walk hand in hand with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.